Cruise. I was getting messages. Are you on the cruise where everybody's getting sick? Are you on the cruise that has turned around and come back? Are you on the cruise? You know, all this. I was on a cruise that for 4 days it had the absolute most beautiful weather you could have. I want you to feel bad because as you're going through this cold, frigid, another Arctic polar vortex, cold, whatever they want to call it. For 4 days, it was absolutely beautiful. In Key West, I'd never been before. It was high, it was 75, 76. Once we got to the Bahamas, it was 80, about 82 degrees, 83 degrees. It was gorgeous. The most beautiful 4 days of weather that you've ever wanted to experience. The problem is, I went on a 5-day cruise. That last day, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. We went from nice calm seas to the waves up and down. As the guys were standing on the stage singing, they were in rhythm with the seas. The microphones were tumbling. People were staggering. All it was very, very difficult. Probably 20% of the folks on the boat there the last day had a little difficult time. And trust me, when that boat docked, we were ready to leave that boat come Thursday morning to see the contrast between it's like just smooth and then all of a sudden how everything can change. That is the way life is, folks. You'll go through certain times in your life where you will find smooth seas. At certain times when I was on that boat, I had no idea, really, I'd forgotten I was on a boat. I was sitting there listening to good gospel music. The groups were singing. And I want to impress upon you at Mount Calvary about how many folks came up to Bob and I and mentioned, where's Terry? No, they didn't say him. They mentioned, yeah. They mentioned about how much they enjoy coming to Mount Calvary and singing and the warmth they feel from the people and the attendance of the concerts here. And everybody comes and, folks, this little small church is known in the realms in the circle of Southern gospel music, and we've been so fortunate enough here to have the groups that we have come as our season starts off in March. But they wanted me to impress upon you. It says, well, when you go back, tell your people that we are looking forward to coming and seeing them. We are looking forward to coming and ministering to them in song. But most of all, we are looking forward, and this is from Tommy, the owner of the Proclaimers Quartet, and they'll be here in April. He said, but most of all, we are looking forward to coming and feeling the love of God's Holy Spirit as we worship with you in song. I'm like, wow, wow. Made me feel pretty good. So I want to thank you, and I want to thank all the people that took part the time that I was away, but When you think about how things can change so quickly, about how the water that was so calm, the water that was so easing and relaxing could change. I want to read to you a verse in the 20th chapter in the book of St. John. I am all the way down into the 19th verse, and this is after Jesus had been crucified, after the resurrection. Amen. He was seen by the disciples. The 19th verse reads, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands. What is the only thing in heaven that you'll see that is man-made? As the old song says, the only thing in heaven that was made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. That is the only thing that is man-made that you will see in heaven. When he had said this, he showed them his hands, and they showed his side where the spear had been placed. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The disciples, having gone through their lowest hour during the time of the crucifixion, the individual, these men that Jesus had personally picked out to follow him, the fishermen, those that had stood beside him, that had seen Jesus perform miracle after miracle, those in the inner circle who had been invited by Jesus to go in and see his power even over death as he raised that one that had already fallen asleep. Most despondent. Why? Because their leader, the one that they put their faith and their trust in, was crucified by choice. But then that third day, when the dewdrop nestles in the rose bud and the morning sun chased away the dark clouds of the night, they went to that tomb and the stone was rolled away and that tomb was empty. Rumors were abounding. What had they done? Had his followers come and stolen the body? No. Jesus, as he had foretold, on the third day, he was risen from the dead. So they'd gone from total despair. They had gone from looking like everything that they had trusted in, believed in for the last 3 years was gone. But then what he foretold took place. And then, think of this, lo and behold, as they were meeting in an upper room, they were fearful of the Jews because so many were trying to accuse them. So they actually went in the room and locked the door. In through that door walked Jesus. If you'd have scripted this in your mind, if you'd have thought about it, what do you think that Jesus would have said if you were writing the script for some big program, for some mini series? "I'm here, I'm back, oh, yeah, you know, everything." But what did he say? What did he say? What did he say? He said the thing that we need the most in our lives. He said the thing that I believe, the reason that we're sent here upon this earth as Christians, I believe he said the thing that is the goal of our walk with him. He said peace. 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 I live in a world where peace is something to be valued. I live in a world of turmoil. I live in a world where everything is so busy, everything is going on. There is so much that you're bombarded with every day. Busy, busy, go, go, here, this, everything. There has never been a time in all of mankind where there is more information being sent at you than today. Just think of it. I now know what a cell phone is and a smartphone, although the one using it sometimes cannot be referred to in the same adjective. I know what computers are because I have one. I am able to access so much information. I am able to, at your simple fingertips, so much is revealed to you, simply what opportunities you have. And trust me, you all sit here and go, "Well, that's nice," but trust me, all you need to have is about an 8 or 9 year old to about an 11 or 12 to really make you feel how foolish you are when it comes to technology. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But there, with all that technology, with all that information, with all the things that are going on in this world, and remember, we live in a world for the last 4,000 years, less than 10% of the time in history has there ever been peace upon this earth. This world, mankind, has been in the business of war. And even today, we hear about the challenges. Even today, the only reason we were able to stand here in front of you speaking freely is because of those men and women who serve the armed forces of this great country. Sacrifice their time, their efforts, their time with family. Why? For the freedoms that we hold so dear. It sounds good when you read it. Peace. Peace. Peace be with you. But I'm here to tell you that the only peace that a person can have within their hearts, the only real peace that they know, is the peace that comes from relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the real peace. That is the answer to the question that resonates in each and every one of our hearts. I want to know why I am here. And I want to know where I am going when I leave. We have challenges. One of the fellows told me about a little 5-year-old boy. And if you will ask people in their life, what is the most precious moment? A lot of times a father will tell you, it is when my child was born. Well, sadly, this child being born was a daughter being added to the family. Took her home and they asked the little 5-year-old brother, said, are you happy? Does this bring peace? And he said, no. Said, why? He said, well, he said, I wanted a little brother who I could play with when he got to be a little older. And they brought home a little girl, and we've kept her 4 days now, so we cannot return her. Guess 4 days is the limit. And you think about what people strive for to find peace. What you hear today, if you watch that wonderful game, whether you're a Broncos fan, whether you're a Seahawks fan, whether you're a simple fan of football in general, or whether you're there, just as so many of you will be, just to watch the commercials. That's okay. That's okay. Why? Because those commercials are there to try to make you feel good. They're there to try to warm your heart, try to make you buy that product. Little boy goes to the, he's allowed by his parents to pick out the puppy that they want to buy. And of all the puppies, he picks out this one with a wagging tail. His father asks, why did you pick out the one with a wagging tail? He says, oh, I want one with a happy ending. Now, I don't know what the commercial is going to be like. I don't know what the game's going to be like. I don't know whether they're going to be successful in their, 4 million of 4 million 30 seconds? You folks get away cheap here at Mount Calvary, I'll tell you right now. 4 million for 30 seconds. I don't know if they're going to be successful in their investment. I don't know what the commercial is going to turn out like. I don't know what the game's going to be. The only thing that I pray is everybody's faithful on that field. I pray that it's a good game. I pray that the players and the people watching it enjoy it. But you know, when you hear this and you see all the things that we go to trying to find peace in our lives, trying to find happiness, trying to find something that we can hold on to that will make a difference in our heart of hearts, you got to come back to the basics, folks. To know Jesus is to know peace. No Jesus, no peace. You have to know in your heart of hearts what you believe. You have to know where your faith stands. I was so moved during this cruise last week, and I was down there with Bob, and boy, we had a blast. We had a blast from the time we walked on the ship till the time that we stepped off. Why? Because we saw people we knew, and we were greeted. And they just bent over backwards to try to make your experience there enjoyable. But if you don't have something within your heart, if you don't have something that you can hold on to, if you don't have that thing within yourself, that when you have the challenges that I read in that prayer book, when I have those times where, boy, it's sad, I walk back into work on Friday morning. Cindy, who I've talked about many times here, she's dear, I don't know what her title is, secretary, resident manager. As you know, if you ever work in the office, she's the one that knows it all. I simply have the title. And she wasn't there. And I said, later on, come back. She said, well, I've been to the doctor. And she walked in and we sat down. And she says, I need to tell you something. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, after going to the doctor, they have found a lump in my breast. And she says, but you know, I believe that the God who you love and the God who I love is going to see me through this. You forget about the temperature down on the cruise. You forget about all those buffets. You forget about all that stuff. And you appreciate the opportunity that God gives you to share His love with others. And Jesus, in His Word, going back into that room, He told those people, peace, peace. And then He instructed them to take this peace with you. You have a goal to spread God's peace and love within this world. The people are struggling. There are people who are challenged. There are people who've gotten reports from the doctors. There are people who are struggling month to month, week to week, day to day. And we have been told in His Word to spread love and peace. How do you do that? You begin right here. You start with this communion. You start with yourself. You say, I'm going to take this small cup of juice. And I'm going to thank God for the body was broken. I'm going to take the wafer that was broken, the small cup of juice, the blood that was shed. And what do? You thank God for what He did for you. And then as God begins to kind of peel away all this pious, all these things that you've known all your life about church and all, and you simply start to be yourself, a sinner saved by grace, because that's what all of us are. And you start to share what He's done for you with others. You'll be amazed how He will bring peace to your life and to those around you. Heavenly Father, we've come to your house. We've